Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. All right.
I just want one more
Sunday night, late night radio. What fun.
You're able. Well, that
went One, two, three, four.
Up this morning, looking for my shoes. Looked behind the trunk, found the hesitation blues. Lordy, tell me how long.
Lordy, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate? Tell me how long.
Lord, tell me how long.
Will I have to wait?
Will I have to wait?
Can I get you now?
Can I get you now?
Must I hesitate?
Frenzy friends, and I gotta tell you, man, tonight was a close call. All right, we're gonna make some show announcements. I will say, for a close call, I gotta thank Adrian for being here tonight. We're gonna get to him. Just hold tight, everybody. Hold tight. All right. So we're gonna get to him. I will say. Number two, not a bad rating. Over 121 pages. What did we count, Freddie? What was there, like 15 shows on every page? We're number two right now. We're doing good. We're doing good. So, okay. Nick, are you there?
Yep.
All right. So, couple of show announcements. Next Sunday night. Matthew Ewald's going to be here.
Yay. That's going to be sweet.
Matthew Ewald will be here.
I like published, I think three books of his over the years. And he's from Fox Kids, the TV show Galador, back in the 2000s and stuff. Has tons of fans. He's done all kinds of things, and he directed his own movie, which won a ton of awards last year, and he's trying to get it distributed to theaters this year. And he sent me the novelization of it that he wrote, and I've been working on that. It's called A Coffin of Stars.
Nice. And then on the 11th, we do have Patrick James Ryan, which is going to be groovy cool, too.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he's one of the best-selling authors at Black Bedsheet with The Night It Got Out. He's been pumping out a lot of stuff since then, though, too. It's, like, really great. He had the flu tonight.
Yeah.
But he'll be back. He'll be back.
He'll be back. Yeah, he said he's going to... All right, so... Nick, I'm going to make a couple of announcements, and then you've got some announcements to mention with Black Bedsheet Books, and then we're going to bring on our guest.
Certainly.
Yes. So here we go. A couple of announcements for me to make. Don't forget to go on to Honest Amish.com. They got all your beard and mustache. They got all the body soaps and everything that you can use. The products smell great. They're all natural. Freddie, you used it in your goatee when you have one. And how does your beard feel? Did you guys hear it? He said it felt soft. Yeah, they got all your hair products, need body soaps, everything. Go to honestamish.com. Put in the passcode Talking Beards. You're going to get 15% off. And Aaron D. Johnston, dude, you freaking rock, man. And also, don't forget to go to the CW. Check out To the Rescue with Tommy Habib. He's doing a fantastic job. He is rescuing dogs, and he's giving them their forever homes. Congratulations, Tommy Habib, and he's the guy who did Sunday night, late night radio. What fun. Dude, trust me, this guy is a blast. Tommy Habib, brilliant guy, brilliant.
He's the guy that did Cheaters.
He created Cheaters. Yeah, he created Cheaters. He's the tall guy, not the guy that got stabbed on the boat. He's the curly hair guy, but yeah, he started Cheaters. But Tommy Habib, really good guy. So glad that you're doing what you're doing for the dogs. Keep it going, man. You know, I seen a episode where him and his sons were pulling out like 70 dogs. And they're putting them in a dog rescue, and they're going to get them their forever homes. How awesome is that?
Groovy. That is groovy.
Yeah, that's really cool. All right, Nick, any announcements for you?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at 25 books I'm publishing between now and the beginning of summer, something like that. Right now, Carson Buckingham just sent me her introduction for The Beetle, which is one of our latest in the classic horror book line that we're doing. It's like it outsold Dracula. It came out the same year and outsold Dracula. And where Dracula is like he can morph into a bat or a wolf and he drinks blood. In The Beetle, this guy can change into a woman and a giant insect, and he consumes people's force nature, force spirit, something like that. It's like really, it's complicated, but it's great. So I figured that's the next one that I'm doing with that. Anywho, also, I'm waiting for the last couple of contracts to come in before I can publish a Scream in the Night 3. The third installment of our all-women's anthologies, horror anthologies, compiled and edited by Raina Young. And that's going to be great. Yeah, and then, of course, like I mentioned before, Matthew E. Weld's coming out with his A Coffin of Stars. And I've been also working on the Canine Collection by Laura Schell, which is a short story horror book that focuses on, of course, canines. So, and it's really awesome. And then Who I Killed at Camp last summer by Thomas Kaminsky is going to be coming out soon. The Nesters by Ken Robinson, and Perversity by Ken King, who came out with a couple of books with us last year, and L.A. Nance, his poetry book, is on its way, and I'm going to be working on Read Us or Die 2, an anthology with every Black Bedsheet author that I can, you know, pull together, but I haven't made the announcement yet. That's probably going to come out sometime at the end of this summer, but I'm so busy with everything else. I do plan on doing that. And my own collection, too. And eventually, I'll get that all taken care of. We just got so many, and it's so cool. Keeps me busy. And these are all great authors, just like the guests that we have tonight.
Yeah, I read Adrian's bio. I love it. Adrian, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. Loud and clear, ma'am. Hey, how you doing, ma'am?
All right. I'm so glad we didn't. By the way, first off, I know that you worked with Ray Young with the Tales of Hip Hop Horror.
Yes, ma'am.
Raina left. She wanted to call in, but she couldn't. But Raina Young, well, she left me a little message for you.
Okay.
Do you want to hear it?
Please. Yes, of course.
All right. All right, here we go.
This is your hot horror hostess, Miss Misery. Woo, I'm back on Francine Friends, leaving a message here. Say hi to my good friend, Age Scott, who rocks it every single time. Cannot wait to see you at East Bay Comic Con. Coming up next Sunday, baby. Ow!
That's my girl right there. It's so, excuse me, thank you. Can I just jump in and start talking? Is this where I could talk?
Yes, it's your show. It's not our show. It's
okay.
Your show.
Solomon Burke once said on her show, it's like just sitting on a couch and just talking to people.
Yeah.
So, yes, say what you want.
Well, you know, first and foremost, just being associated with so many cool people from doing this art is like Nick and Raina and all my friends that I've met from doing this. This is just like, the love is so cool. So even if, you know, we all want success and fame and maybe not fame, but we do want to get paid better. But even if that doesn't happen like that, you know, I just work with so many cool people. What's up, Raina? See you at Comic-Con this weekend. Yeah, Raina's the homegirl. I love her. She's so cool. And, like, me and Raina did the Tales of Hip-Hop Horror with Nick. And, yeah, Black Bear Sheets, yeah. Thank you. It was a great experience working with Nick.
Oh yeah, and the book's out on Amazon. All the listeners want to look it up. Amazon.com.
Yeah.
Tales of Hip Hop Horror. Adrian Ajard Scott and Raina Young. Also at BlackBedsheetBooks.com, and in different other places too. So yeah, I mean everywhere that books are sold. It's even the ebook. At least the ebook. I think the paperback too is at BarnesandNoble.com, and then. Smashwords and Google Books and so on and so forth.
Yes, working with Raina and Nick on Tales of Hip Hop Horror, it's my first attempt of doing like a horror, and I tried to write from a hip hop perspective and trying to not just use hip hop as a writing tool, but just trying to add a different flair to certain type of writing styles, from an urban perspective, hip hop perspective, just like a black male perspective, just trying to do another, adding another touch to my writing, you know? because I've also done comic books and horror, and I've written several type of books. So, yes, I'm super excited about Tales of Hip Hop Horror. Please go get it on Amazon, Tales of Hip Hop Horror, with H. Scott and Randy Young.
Nice.
And also you contributed to our Halloween little anthology. It's like, did you get those books? I sent them to you.
Yes, I did.
Sent you a few.
Yes, I did. Thank you so much, Nick. Thank you. Yes, I wrote a short story of a ghost that was, at the end of the story, the ghost is kind of like out of face ghost, because the ghost is kind of racist, and like he was haunting a house, and the family was like, oh, we got a racist ghost. That's not fun. So the family was woke, and they were like, great grandpa was racist. We don't like him. Like, it is cool, but I'm just trying to write, because as a kid, I was, my parents were, they allowed me to do all the sci-fi and all the horror and all the movies, everything under the pipe. And as I grew up, I'm like, I could write this stuff. I could do this. So watching Jordan Peele go for it really gave me the attitude like, well, if Jordan Peele could go from comedy and writing horror, I could go from comic books and writing horror, or like writing books in general. So, yeah.
I love Jordan Peele movies.
I didn't care
too much for the – he didn't direct it, but the Last Candyman. I liked some of it, but what I really like is other ones. I mean, Get Out. That was
amazing.
That was incredible. And
yes,
the last
yes.
one, I forgot the name, but with the alien
nope.
thing.
Nope. Nope.
Nope. Yeah,
nope.
yeah.
Nope.
Francie, you got to
uh-huh.
see Nope. Yeah,
I love that.
He's a unique director.
Now, and I got to tell you, that is like the best movie title, because everybody's like, nope.
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 Hell no. Hell no.
Nothing
yeah.
to do with that.
No.
Nope.
So when I look at
nope.
Jordan Peele's catalog, a Stephen King's catalog, every Stephen King's movie wasn't amazing. Like, there's some amazing ones, there's some good ones, there's some okay ones. But I look at Jordan Peele's catalog the same. Like, some movies are going to be amazing, some are going to be okay. But the fact that they're all, like, you know, actually movies, I think that's really cool. So I'm just trying to build my catalog. Like any great artist, I would like to build. That's why I've written a horror. I got comic books. I've even written my new book is a love hate story. So yeah, I'm just trying to write.
Tell us about your new book. Tell us more about it.
Okay, so my newest book, I Ain't No Joke. I wrote it during the quarantine time. And it just manifested on Amazon like a week or two ago. And I wrote it with the love and hate for hip-hop. And with it coming out around the 50th year, this is a story of a person's ups and downs with hip-hop. And I wrote it from a place of, when I was writing it, I was just like, I'm writing this so it could possibly be a movie or like a show or like a series. And I wrote it in a way that it's more funny than like traumatizing, because black movies and black stories, we have so many same tropes of like hood, you know, the criminal, you know, the trauma. Some of these elements are so boring to me, and I just wanted to write something different. So I Ain't No Joke is a story of someone's ups and downs with hip-hop. Yeah, I think it's really cool. Please check it out. It's on Amazon.
I totally want to check that out.
Yes, I Ain't No Joke by H. Scott. Yeah, I'm super excited about this. And, you know, it's funny because I'm excited about this book, but I'm also, now that I got Nick on the line, you know, I mean, I want to do another book, another horror book with him, you know, seriously. So I'm just excited about working, you know?
I mean, no, that's what you got to do, too. You got to, like, keep on pumping out stuff as best as you can. I mean, you know, quality stuff. It doesn't mean, like, you know, every day take your time and make it perfect and stuff, then send it out into the world.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's good to be prolific. It's good to get your, like you said, not just with the written word, but with comic books and with, you know, everything that you can dip your fingers into and, like, you know, get involved and get your name out and, you know, get involved.
Yes.
That kind of thing. That's what's important. That works. No,
it's super important. Super important. So this is my passion and my dreams, or like pursuing the art game and the writing. But my day job, I'm a teacher assistant in the school system, so I'm always working with the youth. And I feel like the youth keep me, you know, motivated and focused. And I'm just trying to be a great artist at the end of the day, you know.
I gotta ask you, because you're talking about art. Like me,
please.
I would prefer to do the pen. Well, it used to be in our day, because Nick and I are old. Pen to the paper, and the typewriter gets stuck. You know, and you gotta push the keys down if you type too fast. What do you think is harder? Is it art or is it actually writing?
Well, I think art and writing are kind of like the same energy, just opposite sides of your brain, you know, because you're sitting down and applying yourself. So the hardest, you know, I think just to complete anything is hard. Just to complete anything, you know, it could be a simple picture or a simple paragraph. Some people, it's hard for them to start. Some people, it's hard for them to complete it.
Yeah, discipline.
Discipline. Discipline. That's at the end of the day. And I'm trying to get better with my discipline, honestly. I'm really trying to get better with my discipline. Seriously, ma'am.
Yeah, you got to sit there and you're really like, okay, I'm going to write 2,000 words today.
Yes.
All right, so here I go. And you're like, damn it, there's birds out there. I gotta go look at the birds.
Right. Well,
it's not just discipline; it's ambition, they're both related. But ambition is what compels you to actually do it with passion, and just making yourself do it because you feel like you have to. Then the end result doesn't show the passion. So the drive is you and the passion behind it and being inspired enough to create something substantial that people can really go, wow, this shit is awesome. You know?
I think anyone who's a fan of any genre like art or writing, you have somebody you respect, like Stanley Kubrick or like, you know, Frank Miller or whoever, and you know what they went through to be amazing. And if you want to be amazing, you got to go through like the same fire, you know.
Exactly.
You know, when I was South Carolina and Nick was a guest on my radio show, for the first time, and I was pitching a book to him. I was like, hey, Nick, I might have a book that you might want to publish. One thing that Nick said to me is, imagine yourself as an artist, and you're painting a canvas. What do you see in that canvas? That's what you got to write down.
Well, yeah, and basically, well, whether it's art, as in what Francie's talking about, and actually painting, drawing something, or whatever, or if it's writing words, it's still the same art. In that, when you sit yourself down and you say, "I'm going to write something," it's exactly like painting
yes.
what's inside your head,
yes.
and with using the words to describe it in such a way that people can see it exactly as you do.
Yes, and you know, it's an art to finish a project. It's an art to get something started. I almost feel like that moment before you actually sit down is really crucial, because that moment before you sit down, it's like, am I going to be focused? Am I going to go outside? Am I going to go watch TV? No, I'm going to sit here and do some art. All right. To get my dreams accomplished. So it's just, it's a lot of focus. Nick, Frenchie, it's just like you guys invited me to your podcast tonight. Like, the opportunity was there. I'm like, how can I say no? I'm going to be there. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it was
at the last
minute. We weren't, I wasn't sure if you were going to respond or something, but luckily you did. Luckily you were there. You weren't out watching a movie or doing something or whatever. You caught it. You were there. So, yeah.
So, you know,
here we are.
But not
we would
that.
Have normally have scheduled you, though, in advance.
Yeah,
but,
sir, I appreciate that. But the fact that you gave me this opportunity, I'm stopping everything to be there. Like, this is part of it. This is part of the game of being an artist. It's not like here's one. You can make all this amazing, great art, but if you're not going to show it to the world or, like, be a little more of a, you know, extrovert, your art won't be seen. It won't be seen. No one will see your art. That's not going to help you either.
No, it's not. Anytime you have to, you get an opportunity to promote yourself and you have the time, those are great opportunities.
Yes, and I'm on it. And I pray, like, once again, please invite me anytime. This is so cool. Thank you so much, man. This is so such an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So talk about comics.
Okay, comics. I also do a comic book called Superhood and Want and Feel, and I've done a couple of children's books. Want and Feel is the Ren and Stimpy and the World of Hip Hop. They're like the hip hop heroes. And Superhood is my take on the X-Men, Teen Titans genre. So if X-Men's about kids that have superpowers and go to school for their powers, what about kids that have powers and can't go to school for them?
That's
so
a great angle.
Superhood. Thank you. That's Superhood. That's Want and Feel. These are all properties that I got actually tattooed on my arm.
Ooh.
So these are my properties. This is like, you know how a lot of people get superheroes tattooed on them, like Spider-Man or Batman? Like, no. If I'm going to get tattoos, I'm going to get my own superheroes tattooed on me.
Well, yeah, they mean more.
Yeah, all the tattoos, if
we had a nickel for every Batman tattoo in the world, we'd be rich.
Yes.
Because, I mean, everybody knows Batman. But for something that's personal to you, that's a good enough reason in the first place to have a tattoo.
And you know, from doing this comic, you know what? Nick, Frenchie, the people I've met from doing the comic book game, oh, man, I mean, I met Stan Lee off top. Like, when I met Stan Lee, I was so starstruck, a person like me, I got winded for not knowing what to say to him. I was like, oh, shit, that's Stan Lee. Like, I met Stan Lee, that's like the epitome of it all. But I met a lot of great, amazing people.
I would have to agree with that. If you meet Stan Lee, I have no words.
Almost shit my pants. Like, seriously, can I say that? Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could curse. I don't know if I could curse.
Oh, yeah, you can really cuss, man. You can say the F word. We do not censor guests at all.
Thank you.
Almost freeze my pants. Whatever you feel like saying, you could say it.
Yeah, when I see Stan Lee, I almost pooped my pants. I was like, oh, shit, that's Stan Lee. Oh, wow. Right in front of me. And
I'm not a huge comic book fan. I'm sorry. I'm a girl. I did read Archie. I'm a girl.
Yep, there's a lot of girls that love comics. But, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but,
that's groovy,
you know,
anyway.
Yeah, but if Stan Lee was to stand in front of me, I would be like, ah, oh, fuck me.
Oh, shit. Yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
I
man.
Said it.
No, that's so dope. Stan Lee's such a... And so, I mean, I met John Kay of Ren and Stimpy fame. I've met...
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I met Lou Ferrigno from Hulk. I met the gentleman who did the 1,000 Corpses, the Rob Zombie movie, that real tall, scary-looking guy.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
Clown, the play, yeah.
You're talking about, what's his name? Brain fart here. The clown from the Rob Zombie movies.
Yes.
The big
he's
one
actually
the
scary looking
guy.
In real life.
He got me drunk in a motel room.
Yes. He's
he got
cool.
A hotel room at a convention. He and his wife got me like wasted, and I puked in his sink.
That's so cool.
What's his name?
But you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, cool guy. Yeah, you're gonna get the name. It's all good.
Yeah, man.
And
remember it after the show, and I'll go, oh, that's
the show. We'll do it again. That guy, that one guy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sid Haig.
Yes, yes. Tall, bald gentleman. Yes.
Yeah, Sid Haig.
He's so cool, so cool. Yes, like, honestly, it's been a hell of a ride. You know, another one, Ron Turner from Last Gasp. Ron Turner, that's my guy. I love Ron Turner.
Oh, yeah. Yep, he's cool, too.
Yeah. It's a lot of cool people from the game of creating art. And I'm just fortunate to be able to do it, man, seriously.
And all this, rubbing shoulders with other people, that's all networking, and you get your name out.
Yes.
You get your works out. And then some people like Stanley... You know, you go, wow, that's a memory I'll never forget by doing what you do.
And this is fun, but then also I know that this is part of the game. And so I would like to see, like, honestly, like Stephen King, who's turned a lot of his books into movies and properties, I would like to see my stuff evolve into, like, cinema, movies, and whatnot. And I'm going to just keep on at it till it happens, you know.
Have you, I noticed, didn't you, like, post on Facebook something about your ambition or curiosity about directing a movie yourself or pursuing that?
Yes,
yeah.
I'm pretty good at editing film, and I've shot a couple of rap videos for my friends, so I feel comfortable with my editing and filming. So I wrote a script, and I want to make it happen, but I understand right now that it's kind of hard for everyone to meet, like, you know, people have jobs and all, and that's an obstacle I just realized, but I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to film a video. I'm going to film a movie. I'm going to put it up. I'm going to make it happen. This is just what's going to happen. So I believe in myself, and I got a script written, and it's going to manifest. I just believe all of my dreams are going to happen. I got to just work at it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. They all do. Do you have any equipment yourself?
So I do have some cameras. I do have some editing footage, like editing programs. I actually got a YouTube channel. Because I tell people, please go to my YouTube channel, The Age Page. The Age Page, all three words. And go check out my YouTube channel. Me and my friends, we make music. We got videos up online. And I'm just trying to be a creative. I'm just trying to be one of those, like, you know, those artists that leave a mess of art behind. You know, that's important to me.
You know what? Just popped into my noggin. That's an old guy's, like, term, I guess. It popped into my brain. Do you prefer to be called Adrian or Age? Or what do you... When I talk to you in What do you prefer? I haven't figured that out.
Adrian is my birth name, and that's what, like, you know, my mom calls me, my adult friends, my mother figures, but my friends and my artist name is Age. You call me Age. Like, I just can't cash any checks under Age. Just put Adrian on the checks. But besides that, like, I love Age. Like, you know, Age is my writing name. Like, I think a lot of artists have like a writing name. It's not like their real name. So Age is my writing and my artist name, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I have a lot of authors like that they social media and on their book covers,
yes,
and everything. It's a pseudonym, and then,
yes,
you know, then they got their real name. And some of my authors, I swear I wouldn't tell anybody who they really are. So
I don't mind, Adrian. You know, I don't mind. You know, honestly, at school, I really don't like my kids to call me Age. I'd rather them call me Adrian, you know, and that's okay. A lot of teachers go by last names. I don't mind first because I'm like, I'd like to be that cool teacher. Yeah, you can call me Age, you can call me Age. But Nick, Frenchie, I got a question for you guys. I know you guys are into horror movies and all, so I just want to ask you, like, your top three horror flicks, please. Like, what's your favorite three horror flicks of all time, please? Anyone?
Francie.
I would have to go with Jigsaw 3 would be my number one. I'm sorry,
okay,
Nick, but Halloween.
Or what about Exorcist 3? You love that one.
Exorcist 3 would be number 3.
Ah.
Okay.
That's number 2.
Halloween 4 is number 2.
Oh.
What's number 2, ma'am? What's number 2?
Halloween 4.
Oh. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I wrote the book for that.
I know. You
didn't
wrote
know that.
Yeah, you got the novel to that. Right?
Yeah, I wrote that back in 1988, yeah. And then it has new editions. But,
terrifying horror movies. In fact, when I was a kid, because Nick's a little bit older than me, when I was a kid, Halloween 4 scared me to death. But Jigsaw 3, I would have to say, is my number one horror movie.
Jigsaw 3, okay. What about you, Nick? What are your favorite three, please?
Well, I've always kind of tried to figure out what my top movies of all time have always been, or not. And for decades, Alien and Blade Runner, probably The Empire Strikes Back, but those aren't horror. And Brazil, you got to check out Brazil if you haven't. Terry Gilliam from Monty Python. Brazil,
okay,
is an incredible movie. For a long time, that was my all-time favorite movie. I also love Superman the movie because back in the days, my parents used to, my dad loved that movie. So, like, after church, sometimes we would we'd be in the car going home, and then he'd like detour, and we'd go, "Where are you taking us?" "Oh, we're going to see Superman again." You know, but, I really do like Cronenberg's The Fly a lot.
Yes, that's a good one.
I really do like, the Alien franchise is horror to me, even though it's horror / science fiction. But those xenomorphs are like creepy things. I love the design to that, and that's like horror science fiction.
Yes. I love that crazy stuff, dude. Like Videodrome. Oh my God, Videodrome is insane.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it is. Yeah, I love that movie. I love David Cronenberg's stuff.
Yes,
that
crazy. Yes, yes. My favorite three, at least my like my favorite movie ever is Clockwork Orange. That's my favorite movie.
Oh, I love that movie too. Yes,
yeah,
indeed. I can watch that over and over again.
Yes, I watch it. I watch it and read the book like once a year, like an annual thing. And I love Get Out. Get Out was amazing.
Get Out.
I love Get Out. Yes, you know, I love Get Out, but I kind of didn't like how media was placing Jordan in the horror masters, but. I guess what was happening is that horror movies took such a drop in creativity that Jordan Peele was just deemed the master for being creative, you know?
Yeah, I was really impressed with Jordan's, and again, I can't, off the top of my head, it'll come in like 2 minutes, but the one with the people that live underground and they come up and that.
You talk about Us?
Yes, yes.
Yes,
I've seen
cool
it twice,
too.
And I said,
yes,
"Yeah,
cool.
I really very original stuff."
Yes,
yes. It's mostly horror, but it borders on the sci-fi thing too, with the fantastic elements that go into it. And but how these movies are made that he's done. Are really incredible that you can follow them and you know, a suspension of disbelief. You know, you get into it.
You know, Jordan Peele, when I watch Jordan Peele's horror, Jordan Peele kind of shows me that there's different things that are scary for different people. Like the police at the end of Get Out. Everyone in the theater was black when that police officer pulls up. Like everyone's, oh shit, like that's the cops. Like that was a for a moment in that movie, because like everyone was scared of the cops at that moment, even if you're not scared of the cops in real life.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I noticed, I'm like, dang, you know, like, and there's a lot of scarier things going on in this world besides Jason, Freddy. That's why they can't even do it, Jason, anymore, because people aren't scared of Jason, Freddy, or like a Chucky. That shit doesn't scare people no more.
No, they. In order to continue on those franchises, they have to either reinvent them or they have to come up with something that can appeal that we haven't seen before, because we've seen so many of those movies. We can watch them if we love them. We can watch the old ones, but that's one thing about remakes and things nowadays too. It's just originality is the most important thing. That are just rehashing the same old thing.
Amen. That's why Jordan Peele is winning. And even though, I mean, do you know how many Friday the 13th have been made?
Oh, I imagine like about, 13? Something like that.
I think there's 12. 12. They haven't did the 13th yet. I'm like, what are you guys waiting for? That would be so amazing. Friday the 13th, the 13th one, the final chapter.
Yeah. I like a lot of those slasher films, and I grew up with them, too. It's really hard to – so many – now that it's easy for independent filmmakers even to, like, come out with something, it's just – a lot of it isn't original anymore because slasher films, they have to be like, have you seen The Terrifier?
Yes. That's just so corny. I've seen it.
It's probably one of the better ones, though, but there's so many of them.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's like the same trope.
Thing.
Yeah, it's the same trope. So even the whole scary, like, the haunted house thing. Like, when I wrote my haunted house story, I'm like, this is like the same thing, but I put a spin on it with the ghost being racist and the family being woke, and they kind of disowned the ghost. They didn't want to deal with Grandpa no more because he was from a different era. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, so many, there's different ways to put new stories out. 2024, we need new stories, new writers.
Yes, we do. We need, like, just original, new, original stuff nobody's ever heard of. That's what makes it, and you know, do it right.
And Nick, I want to say thank you. Yes. Yes,
ma'am? I got a really cool guy here, and Adrian, you're trying to break into film. This guy is, like, the master of independent films. In fact, I'm actually honored that he's calling in, and he says I'm going to call in. We got Eddie Lingle here. And if you guys are not friends on Facebook right now, Adrian, I got to tell you to make friends with him on Facebook because he is the master of independent films.
I'm on Facebook right now, ma'am. I could address this. How about you link us up after the end of the show, ma'am? Just send me a link, and
I'm gonna bring him on right now. He's like, I'm calling
yes,
in right now. I gotta tell
yes,
you,
ma'am.
That
thank
if
you
you're
so much.
Any advice in independent films? This hey Eddie.
Hey Francie.
Hey Eddie.
Hi sir. How are you? Hello, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can definitely hear you.
How's it going?
Pretty good. We got Adrian Ajard Scott here.
Hi, sir. How you doing?
Hey, buddy. Your name's Adrian?
Yes, just call me Adrian. It's great. Thank you.
Yeah, you can call me Eddie.
Hey, Eddie. What's up, bro?
Nothing, man. I just got home and I checked my Facebook and Francie's like, hey, can you call in? My guest got sick or something. I'm like, yeah, sure.
Fuck yeah, this is so dope. Thank you for being here, bro.
What's going on, Francie?
No,
what are you guys talking about tonight?
Adrian, Age, talk about your ambitions for independent film and fill them in.
Well, hey, Eddie, so I am a writer, and I've written some scripts, and I've written some books, and I'm just trying to be a super creative, and now I know how to edit film, and I'm feeling like I feel confident about shooting and mics and the lighting, and I would like to attempt to shoot a film. You have any advice for me, please?
You have a camera?
I have a camera, but then I'm also interested in getting a better one if needed.
What kind of camera do you have?
I have a high def, like, handheld camera. It gets the job done. Nothing too fancy.
Okay. You have to make sure it's 4K.
4K, okay.
Yeah, I would suggest, like, the Blackmagic. You know, they have a camera that's pretty affordable. You can get it for, like, under $2,000. You can get a used one under $2,000. We've used those cameras, and they're really good.
I'm writing notes. I'm writing just... Okay. Black.
Yeah, you got to make sure it shoots in 4K, because that's what the streaming service is like.
Okay, 4K. And the name of this camera again, sir?
It's called the Blackmagic.
Blackmagic. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And how did you go about getting everybody on board? Did you have to pay everyone, or did you just have to feed them?
In the early days, I don't know. I got real lucky, like, way back with Hell Week. That was my first movie, and that actually got on Netflix. And I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't know what I was doing, but I had a lot of passion. and a lot of desire, right, Francie? I didn't have a lot of knowledge. I had a lot of passion and desire, Adrian. I don't know. Like, we ended up shooting that movie for like around $3,000.
You guys shot Halloween 4 for $3,000?
No, Hell Week.
Wait,
Hell Week
on Halloween?
No, Hell Week. Not
Hell Week. Oh, snap. Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Hell Week. Oh, shit. Oh, wow. Okay. This is dope. How long did it take you guys to make it happen?
Oh, man. It was a long process. it was a long process. We went through many different editors, and we had to go back for reshoots, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare, but in the end, it got to Netflix, and it got my name out there, you know? I just didn't give up. I kept trying and trying. We went through probably 5 different editors, and we finally got the edit that we wanted. And it's been 4 years, buddy.
Thank you so much, man. You know what? I'm so honored that just to be amongst you guys, man. Thank you for the knowledge, bro. Seriously.
You're welcome. You know, it's just, yeah. I believed in it. You know, Francie knows this. It was like I just believed in it. And if you believe in something, and you believe in it 100%, you know what I mean? Don't give up. That's what I tell people. Like, I didn't give up. Like, I could have given up so many times, Adrian, you know, when editors didn't work out and we had to go to another editor and then just, like, always got the darkest before the dawn, you know? And I just kept plugging on. You know,
yeah.
I just kept plugging on, man, you know? And finally we got it. And as a matter of fact, we're just redoing it now. We're doing a 10-year anniversary. I was just finishing up the edit this week, and we're going to re-release that same movie, but it's been up-res to high definition.
Congratulations on your achievement.
Thanks, man. Appreciate you.
I gotta tell you, Adrian, if there is anybody that I can introduce you to, anybody in the industry, this is the man right here.
Sir, I'm on your face. I'm on Facebook right now. Can I find you, Eddie?
Last name
L-E-N-G-Y-E-L. Yep, I got you. Lingo, I just see you right now, so I'm sending you a friend request.
Okay.
Thank you so much, sir. God bless, man. Seriously.
Yeah, he has been nominated for the guy that has, you make the best of your budget, and you make your movies seem cinematic. You got to watch him. You're on Tubi, right?
Yeah, everything I have is on Tubi.
I'm there, sir. I'll be watching your movie this week. Please send me links. I'll be watching your shit. I'm going to study your stuff, bro. Thank you.
Dude, this guy is a pro.
Francie, I just got a review from Horror Nation. And from my I'm just releasing an Irish film called St. Patrick's Day, The Slough Awakens. And Horror Nation did a review, and I am so humbled. I'm so humbled, Francie. You know what they said? They go, this film earns a spot on your shelf right next to Leprechaun franchise as a must-watch St. Patrick's Day horror.
Congratulations,
sir. In legitimate horror to fit right alongside the cult favorite Francie, I'm so humbled, Francie, that they said that.
Congratulations, sir, man. Yo,
that's
seriously,
so
congratulations. That's so dope.
That is always humble. Eddie.
That's so dope,
week.
Man.
All right, okay. Can you be on my show 3 weeks from Sunday?
As long as it's not Super Bowl. Is that Super Bowl Sunday?
Oh, shit, is that Super... Okay, after Super Bowl Sunday, yeah, we got to watch Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Let's go Niners. Let's go Niners.
Yeah, let's go Niners. I hate the Chiefs.
please tell me that one guy that has all the super.
I think, you know what, though, Francie? The game will be over by then.
Just like today.
Oh, yeah, it would be over by then.
Yeah.
We've done Super Bowl Sundays before, Francie.
It should be over.
Okay. All right, Adrian, you want to be the co-host for Eddie?
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
All right.
Am I excited? Yes.
You guys still have William? Is William still on the show?
Oh, yeah, William, he's got to wake up at 4 in the morning to take his family somewhere. And then Tom Sawyer he's been on the show for like ever, one of my other authors, and he couldn't make it because he's picking a football. He's at a football game after party thing. Usually we can get whatever we need. Francie's gone through so many co-hosts over the years, over the decade and a half.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm so honored to be there. I would definitely like to be there with you guys Super Bowl weekend after the game.
That'd be cool.
You discover what Eddie does. I think that would be the perfect. I think you will be perfect for Eddie.
And you know, Eddie, thank you guys all for inviting me to be part of your show. And Eddie, I just want to ask you, what would be some advice for somebody, you know, trying to get into the game of making independent movies?
You want some advice?
Yes, like, please.
What are you exactly? Are you doing? Are you writing? Are you directing? Or producing? What are you doing? All of it?
If it has to come down to it.
My advice, what I was taught, what I was told, is get a crew, and that's something I've always struggled with, is getting a team around me, like a crew. We have a small crew. But that's one of the biggest advices I can give you, buddy, is get a crew. Like, if you can get your cameraman, get your sound guy, you know, an AD and a PA, even if it's just a small or in a grip, you know, a light guy. You know what I mean? Because we didn't have that, and it made life a lot easier if you have some of those players. You know what I mean? So say you're running camera, make sure you got a great sound guy. You know, or if you're running sound, make sure you got a good camera guy and maybe an AD, you know, an assistant director. Assistant directors are crucial, you know. They help keep everything running.
Eddie.
Yeah.
Eddie, I talked to a lot of your actors on the show, and you know what your actors always said about you?
What's
anytime
that?
He calls me, I'm picking up the phone.
Uh-oh.
You need to be a nice guy.
Yes, you have to be a nice guy. Make more friends than enemies in this game. I understand. I'm trying to learn, ma'am. I'm trying.
That's what you get, because every actor that I've talked to, and I've had a couple of your actors on the show, and I had you on the show, and everybody always says, oh my gosh, Eddie's such a nice guy. That's all you need.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you for just having me. Thank you so much for having me with you guys tonight. So serious.
Well, we are about to start off Blog Talk Radio. Eddie.
Yeah.
Am I going to talk to you in 3 weeks?
Sure. Let me know.
All right. Are you going to be the co-host? And Tom and William will be there too, Eddie.
Yes, ma'am. I'll be there.
All right.
We could talk about my St. Patrick's Day movie. We could talk about the Melonheads.
I know, because I see the
got a lot of stuff we can talk about.
That's so cool.
That would be groovy.
Adrian, you want some?
Yes, ma'am.
You want some advice about? You want some advice about doing independent films? This is the man you need to talk to right here. And
thank you so much.
You need to go on to Tubi, and you need to watch his this Mara Hatchet. I'm so bad with names. You got to see Miss Marriage. Now, you know I'm going to watch it tonight. Come on, Eddie.
I'm telling you, this whole thing, everything with us creative types is all about, you know, getting together, networking, sharing our, you know, dreams and this and that, and doing whatever it takes to actually make it happen.
You know, I would like to do a revamp of Blackula. I would like to see Blackula revamped.
Revamped, pardon the pun.
I would totally be in it.
But yeah, Blackula was great. And the sequel too.
Yes. Ooh, thank you for having me, guys, man. I'm just so excited about being with you guys tonight. Thank you.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. Thanks for, like I said, as fate would have it, at the last minute, there you are. So, yeah, I've been dying to figure out a way to exploit you, so, you know.
Hey, it's good.
And here you go.
I'm ready to sign up with the Illuminati and everything. Let's do it. And everybody, thank you guys for having me. I know we're almost out of here, but, you know, everyone, just check out my book on Amazon. I Ain't No Joke, and I can't wait to be with you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right, let's do it. Eddie, you up for it?
What's that?
Eddie?
Yeah.
You're up for it in 3 weeks, a show?
Sure.
Are you talking about, not next Sunday, not the Sunday after that, but the Sunday after that. Yeah.
That's what I said. 3 weeks.
I'm there. I'll be there.
What would that date be, guys? What's the date?
Crap. We don't have a calendar in front of us. Hold on. Okay, the 4th is in the 11th, and then, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18th. 18? I guess
yes, ma'am.
1 plus 7 equals 8, right? 18th?
And Adrian, you're welcome, Adrian, Adriart Scott, you're welcome to call in next week, too, because we're going to have another independent filmmaker. I've published 3 of his books. I'm publishing the 4th. Like at the beginning of the show when I announced it, A Coffin of Stars, Matthew Ewald. He was the lead in Galador on Fox Kids back in the early 2000s. He knows a lot, too, about filmmaking. That's what he does. He was in Plan 9, the remake to Plan 9 from Outer Space, but a more serious remake that had Mr. Lobo in it and a lot of other people.
And cool.
So he can give you some advice as well. But that's next week. And he hasn't been on the show in a while. He kind of dropped off a little bit. And then with this new movie, I mean, it won like 20. His movie won 20 awards at film festivals all year last year. And he's seeking distribution into theaters this year for it. It's an alien, kind of a alien abduction kind of thing. Along the lines of, if you've heard of the movie Extraterrestrial by the Vicious Brothers, it's a lot like that.
Oh, shit. Okay. That sounds so cool. Thank you, man. Next weekend, I do have the CONCACON with Raina, but I should be able to get back before that time of the podcast.
How groovy. Okay.
But thank you for the invite, and I'll definitely keep you all posted.
Yes. Onwards and upwards for all of us.
Yes.
Yes, indeedy.
no, I'm really excited. I get you back, right?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I'll be back. I'm definitely in.
All right. All right.
It was a great show, too. I mean, a lot that was discussed. That's really, you were in the spotlight. Yeah, there we go.
Thank you
so
much.
Go out into the world.
Thank you so much. Yes. Thank you all. And I guess I'll see you guys in a couple of weeks, if not next week.
Okay. That's groovy, Francie.
Thank you.
I've loved you since I was 11, 12 years old. My grandfather used to watch your show every Friday night. And he'd say, boy, that's a lot of ketchup there, Brett. A lot of ketchup, isn't it?
A lot of ketchup. No, this is Chad. Grandpas are liking me. Damn. I said when you said
Brett,
I love it,
Brett.
Like,
that was my grandpa back in 1981.
Oh, good. Oh, okay. Now that feels better. I'm always signing autographs to people. It will always say, oh, my God, I got to get a picture of you for my dad. And I'm like, okay, when people start saying, oh, my God, I got to get a picture of you for my grandpa, then I'm retiring.
I am wearing this regimental style, yes. And I tell you, the kilt has caused many, many a wondrous and amazing events at the cons that I go to. I always wear my kilts to the cons. I actually had an elderly woman. When I say elderly, I mean like in her 80s woman come up to me. She was just a guest at the hotel, and she's like, oh, I've always wondered what a Scotsman wears under his kilt. She lifted up, and she found out what a Scotsman wears under his kilt.
And what was her reaction to what a Scotsman was wearing or not wearing underneath his kilt?
Well, I took her back to my room, Ron. I mean, you know. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, man, this is so exciting. And the funny thing is like, for the last, since you said that you would do the show, at the opening show, that's all we talked about. So I'm wondering, what do we talk about next Sunday? Because you're here tonight. So,
I am here tonight, yes.
And what a cool, I got to tell you, I'm extremely honored.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
it's lovely for you to have me on.